Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. I'm joined today by old friend Zach Janis. How you doing, buddy? All the way out from California.
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing good. It's been a long time since we've chatted. I'm very excited to see you. I like talking with Zach. It's always a fun time. Trey is experiencing technical difficulties, so he is supposed to be jumping in here pretty shortly, but I figured while we have this like 2 to 3 minutes while we wait for him to rejoin, Zach, let's you and me nerd out about Utah for a second. Like, what you thinking this year as far as football goes for them?
Dude, they got some nice pieces. The problem is, I think that the rest of the South is also still really good. You got a lot of school, USC, they got a lot of good pieces that they're building on. They did lose a lot in the draft, which could work out, you know, well for the Utes, but I think talent-wise, it's tough. It's your usual suspects. I don't think that, you know, anyone's gonna like really surprise us this year. But I think you got Utah, you got USC, and you got Arizona State. And I think it's a toss-up between any of those schools. I do like where Utah is at, though. I thought they got a lot of nice pieces, especially in the quarterback room, and they have a lot of guys returning on defense. You got Brant Keithy, you got Devin Lloyd coming back. Like all those guys that wanted to come back and play their last years this year, you know, it could pay off. It could end in a championship. And so, you know, high ceiling for sure.
Yeah. I think to me, I'm just interested to see how the offense looks because the names, I think, are being hyped up by a lot of people here in Utah, but I feel like that's kind of the way it always goes with Utah's offense. And then it always ends up kind of the same every year. Losing Ty Jordan, obviously, that's huge.
Right.
His tragic death earlier this year does not help from a football perspective. Hopefully the team can rebound. That was just a terrible situation. But I really wonder how all this, like, transfer talent plays off. TJ Pledger, Chris Curry going to be the running backs. Who knows? And then really it's like you look at the wide receivers and you're like, okay, Solomon Ennis, he's okay, but he's never really like been an all-star or anything like that. And they get Munir McClain from USC, but he wasn't really starting meaningful snaps for them. They get the kid from Oklahoma, but again, he was kind of buried on Oklahoma's depth chart, so he's kind of an unknown. Brant Keithy is really the most proven receiving weapon you have. You bring back Jalen Dixon. He's also probably one of the more solid guys you have. And then, of course, Britton Covey returns for like the 20th straight year, and he's going to be consistent. But I wonder what the Utes offense looks like, because if Charlie Brewer starts, it can't be a traditional Kyle Whittingham offense. Like, you can't just run the ball 800 times when you have Charlie Brewer, who's like this tremendous thrower of a football and who lit up the Big 12. So maybe it's more of a passing attack this year. I would be excited if that was the case, but
I've been waiting for that for years,
but I really think they're gonna play boring offense like they usually do. But it'll be interesting to see. And now, I don't know if it was the lag, but he sounded really sad when we fired up the Zoom from a dimly lit home office studio. Hood up. It's Trey Watkins. Trey, are you okay?
I'm fine now. I'm just dealing my crappy laptop and they decide to screw me over as soon as we try to record. So, but everything's okay now.
That's good stuff, Trey. Thank you for switching up, pulling a quick little audible. I appreciate it. Probably. Okay. Let's get to the NFL. Training camp underway. Me and Trey are going to rendezvous Saturday, and we'll talk about all the stuff that's gone down with training camp. Lots of stuff happening. Aaron Rodgers, tons of reports out of everywhere. Mac Jones looking good. Tua lighting things up, apparently. There's just a lot of stuff to talk about, but that's not today. Today, Zach Janis joins us, diehard San Francisco 49ers fan, to talk about the NFC West. Miss Trey is a division I know you and I have both been very excited to talk about. You suggested we save this towards later in our previews, and I figured why not start the second half of them with it. I think you and I both agree, best division in football. And we're just going to check it out right now. So same kind of format as usual, but I'm going to start with our guest here. Let's start with the San Francisco 49ers, Zach. And why don't you start by giving us the best position group? What are you most excited roster-wise at for with this 49ers roster going into this year?
Well, I mean, there's a ton of stuff to talk about with the 49ers. I definitely think that they are one of the more interesting teams. And I know that all four teams in the NFC West did some crazy stuff in the offseason to kind of address the things that happened last year. Seattle made a bunch of moves. Arizona brought in a lot of guys. You know, you have LA with the quarterback switch. I think that everyone in the NFC West is kind of gearing up for this, like, gauntlet that is interdivisional play this year. The Niners are no different. They made a ton of changes. They let go of a lot of guys, and they have a lot of guys coming back too, which is what I'm most excited about. And so obviously the excitement with this team, at least right now, is on the defensive side, or where they can have the most success. And they have a lot of guys coming back. You have Nick Bosa coming off the the leg injury. I think it was the ACL. But the position group that I actually found the most interesting was the linebackers. I think that Fred Warner's finally getting the respect he deserves. He just got paid. He's now the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. You have Dre Greenlaw, who's coming off of an incredibly productive year. And I still think he doesn't get enough noise just because he's playing with Fred Warner. You know, he's one of the better up and coming linebackers. Again, yeah, he'd be much more celebrated. The second, you know, but again, it's the entire defense is exciting to me. And, you know, if they don't have these incredibly bad injuries that like they had last year, I think that this team has the potential to do a lot of things.
Okay, let me speak for both me and Trey here, because we've talked about this before. Let me address what I believe is the worst roster position on this. How can you believe so heavily in that defense when the secondary is quite legitimately trash?
Yeah, and that's what makes it interesting, is that the second, and I actually had them as my worst position group too. The two guys that I think you know, produced the most and had the most they had the most productivity last year, Richard Sherman and Akella Witherspoon. Both of those guys are gone now, and so you have this interesting thing. And in 2019, the Super Bowl year, I always thought that they were able to kind of cover up for the secondary because the line was so good. But that's all gone away. You lose DeForest Buckner, you lose Solomon Thomas. Your line is a lot more shaky than it was in the Super Bowl year. And so, you know, you have to rely on that secondary a lot more. And honestly, I don't see it. I think that they had an opportunity to address in the draft. They didn't really do that. Obviously you had the offseason to sign guys and to make roster moves, and they did, but I don't necessarily agree with them just because their two most productive cornerbacks are now playing for other teams or looking for a job still. It's going to be interesting, but at the same time, I don't feel like this is an offense that is, you know, built for shootouts. I don't think it's built to keep up. You know, they're either going to score a lot or they're not, and the defense kind of has to save them. They relied on that last year, and they relied on it in the Super Bowl run as well. So it's going to be interesting. That secondary is worrisome for sure.
Indeed. I'm just concerned about that group, but, you know, I love Fred Warner. You know, I thought he was the All-Pro last year. I still believe that. I know a lot of people say Bobby Wagner is the best guy. I don't believe that for a second.
Old, though.
It's Fred Warner for me. He's the guy in the middle that I want. His pass coverage skills are really unparalleled. He is a reason to believe in the defense and a reason to believe that they can keep games within reach. Trey, any thoughts on this conversation so far?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree about the whole Fred Warner stance. I don't even think you can call him one of the more up-and-coming linebackers. I think he's arrived now. I think he's really arrived. He's arguably one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker, inside linebacker in football, so which is a real value commodity for defenses these days. So I love Fred Warner. The only thing I'm really sort of concerned about is that corner group. Corner group really scares me. I don't know what they have over there that will make me change that stance. So if they roll into the season with this corner group, then they better pray to God that their pass rush does a good bit of the work for them, because that secondary just doesn't look good to me. Of course, things can change. Players can play above their previous thresholds or whatever the case may be. But right now on paper, it just doesn't look good to me to have any sort of confidence in it.
Jason Verrett does deserve like a little bit of talk, because he did. Yeah. I mean, he missed some time with injury at the start of last season, but he played like he was a dude at the later stages of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can necessarily rely on it, just because there was a bit of a spike in his productivity, and it was less of a trend, more of a one-off year. So you got to hope that he can replicate it. But yeah, among the cornerbacks and the safeties and stuff, he's probably the guy. And we've seen when teams try to make it work with one dude, in coverage, it just doesn't necessarily pan out. So, it's worrisome. It's a litmus test for sure. And it's the gift and the curse of being in the NFC West, is that if you put the Niners in a lot of other divisions, it's not even necessarily close. Who the favorite would be, but everyone in the NFC West, Arizona, just because they're not there yet, but if any of these teams, any of the four teams appeared in the NFC Championship, would you be surprised? I don't think I would.
Mm-mm, not at all. Not at all. Back to that Verrett point. I've been on record saying I'm a big believer in Verrett, his on-field capability. It's just that dude cannot stop getting hurt. I don't know what he's tried to, at least prevent the injuries that he's been getting, but it seems like he's a different injury every single year. And the same injury keeps him out and ruins whatever progress he's made. So I think Verrett is good and can be good, but that guy just has to stay healthy. I mean, that's really the only thing that's screwing him over right now.
It's the whole team.
Yeah.
I think last year would have been a lot, obviously it would have gone a lot smoother, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like an astronomical amount of injuries, and it tanked a lot of things. But and that's the interesting thing, is that this year we're going to figure out if they were closer to the Super Bowl team or if they were closer to the 6-10 to the 2 6-10 seasons that Super Bowl run was sandwiched between. And you got a lot of guys coming off of injury, and he's one of them. And if he goes down, that secondary it's in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's flip. We've talked a lot about the defense. Let's talk about the offense, and let's do that by going some quarterback outlook, some notable news out of camp for them. Yesterday was Kyle Shanahan basically saying there's not really competition for quarterback. Jimmy G will be the starter. So let's assume that Jimmy G is going to start at least until he gets hurt, which might be at some point. But let's assume Jimmy G plays at least 14 to 15 games this year. What's the quarterback outlook for him in your opinion?
It's tough. I do think it's the right decision, just because Shanahan offenses are very complicated. It's tough to trust a complete rookie with that. With the starting job in that sense. I think Jimmy G is capable. Obviously, he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. He was the quarterback of the team that made the Super Bowl in 2019. But I think it's you just have the veteran presence. You have the guy that's been there the longest out of anyone in the room. It's absolutely like a – I think it's a short lease for sure. If they start like 1-3 or 2-5 or something like that, pull them. You could see, and this is a thought I had that was pretty interesting. I look at what the Dolphins did last year with Tua and with Ryan Fitzpatrick, where you let the rookie start, or you let the, I don't know, was he a rookie? You let the new kid start, but you have them, you can interchange them. You let the kid make his mistakes. And if it's going to cost you games, then you put in the guy that knows what he's doing or knows what's going on. I think that could be interesting. I don't know that they would necessarily do that. I think Kyle Shanahan would rather stick with someone and not have to deal with that. But I do think it's an interesting thought. But you got to get Trey Lance some reps, and you got to see what you have in that. And especially if you find that Jimmy G's not being productive or he's not getting it done, you know, Trey Lance offers a whole lot more in terms of, you know, being able to stretch out the field and being able to, you know, center the offense around passing. And so yeah, I think you just got to see what you have in the first couple of weeks and go from there. But I think Jimmy G was the right choice.
Yeah. I went back. I've been watching some Jimmy G for his quarterback show. He just wasn't that good a few years ago. He really struggled, especially at the start of last year. He looked bad in the two or three starts that he did have. But he has shown the capability of playing like an average NFL quarterback, which is what he did during that Super Bowl year. And if he can kind of, you know, he's proven he can do it before. So part of me wants to really bury Jimmy G, and I have him kind of low on my quarterbacks list. We're going to do that show soon. But I do believe that if things break right, he can absolutely lead the Niners back to contention, because I'll say about the offense here, it has talented pieces. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was really good towards the end of last year. People, I think, are kind of overlooking him. You have Deebo Samuel coming back. Hopefully he stays healthy. He was a revelation towards the end of that Super Bowl year. He was starting to really kind of come into his own, I think. And then you've got George Kittle, obviously one of the better tight ends in the league, best probably at this moment. Though I have said I'm a Kyle Pitts guy now. I'm a Kyle Pitts trooper. I believe that by week three, we will see the truth that he truly is the best tight end in the league at this point. I'm a fan of the 49ers offense in general. I think that no matter who the quarterback is, it can have success against some defenses in the division that have some pretty big question marks. I mean, I think that's one overall theme of the entire division, is every team has defensive question marks. Like, the Rams have the players, but who knows about the new coaching staff? And the Seahawks look like they're devoid of talent on defense, and the Niners have a great front seven, like we've talked about, and the Cardinals have potentially a great pass rush, but now there's Chandler Jones. That's a larger point and something I don't want to get off in a side tangent about, but the Niners have the potential to win in shootouts if they need to. I don't know. Is that crazy to think, Trey?
I mean, to win in shootouts, you need good quarterback play. So, I mean, me and you both said we're not all that high on Jimmy G, and Trey Lance is a bit of an unknown at this point. So if you want to win in shootouts, you need good quarterback play, you know, for the most part. Now, Jimmy G
won in some shootouts in that Super Bowl year. So he's shown he has the capability to do it.
And that's what I was about to say. You can always run into the off chance or day that everything works out. You know, the quarterback can get things going regardless of how good the quarterback is. I mean, I can just think of a recent example. Well, not really recent, but a past example. I remember a Titans and Jaguars game for, what was it, like 2015 or whatever. Marcus Mariota and Blake Bortles each threw for over like 350 yards. It was a an exciting game, but it was a horrible game at the same time. And it just goes to show you that, I mean, you don't exactly need good quarterback play, but, you know, things can come along and you can get the off chance that bad quarterbacks can start putting up crazy numbers on the stat sheet. I'm just not that big of a believer in freaking Jimmy G right now, just to say, hey, if I need to go win a shootout, then Jimmy G's my guy. I'm not confident in saying that. I can't say that about Trey Lance because he hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet. So I don't know. It's a, you know, vast realm of unknown and non-confidence in the options that they have a quarterback on the roster that prevents me from saying, hey, the 49ers can win in shootouts. That's just me, though. Somebody else can have a different opinion.
It's them, it's the quarterbacks, and it's the secondary. That's the, I mean, really, is that that's the only like capital Q question mark I have about this roster. The rest is like, I mean, it's honestly pretty, it's pretty good. It's definitely, you can compete at any position group except for those with anyone else in the division. I think it's just, yeah, that, I mean, but to have a question mark at quarterback, that can, it can tank your whole season.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. Okay, this is one a segment that the guest sometimes doesn't fully comprehend. So I sent the text and I did send more explanation. So let me give you a brief rundown here. And while I ramble, you can kind of think. Dealer's choice, Zach. Now that this is, you could talk about anything you want regarding the team. You could talk about something interesting behind the scenes, something like coaching questions you have, or you can talk about another position group. You could talk about a specific player. It's dealer's choice here. What are we talking about for the 49ers for this?
So I thought about it for a little bit, and I decided that I wanted to go with a bit of a making the leap candidate.
Okay.
And again, there's a lot of guys on this roster that underperformed last year, either because they were injured or just because of this, the circumstance they were thrown into. I kept coming back to Brandon Ayuk, and I know that's weird because he actually had a very productive rookie year, but I think that a lot more cylinders are going to be firing for the 49ers this year. Again, barring injuries, but you know, he had 748 yards on 96 targets for a 6-10 team that didn't make the playoffs. You know, the Niners might switch things up again. It's going to depend on who's throwing the ball, but I mean, there's nothing that says that he won't at least see an uptick in his production from a year ago. Like if he breaks 1,000 yards, I probably wouldn't be surprised. He didn't catch a ton of touchdowns, but I think that's because they spread the wealth when throwing touchdowns. Because the Niners didn't really have a lot of like breakaway touchdowns. They like to get up into the red zone and then score. And so, you know, the touchdowns are a little, it's a little below what I would expect, but there's a ton of room for improvement. And again, I think the team's going to be better. You have the offensive line short up, you have a ton of more options around him for defenders to cover. So that's going to leave him open a lot. And so, yeah, I think he's primed for a good year.
Absolutely. Okay. Talk to us now, record-wise. Now, this is Bo. I've usually been doing it team by team on this site I use to predict records. But for this one, I'm going to wait a while because I need to talk out this division more. I'm basically picking all non-division matchups right now. But you tell me, what is the ceiling record-wise and floor record-wise for this Niners team?
So the floor, it's tough because there's no way they got worse this year. Maybe in the secondary, and if that could come back to bite them. But I think that they improved enough around the secondary and they made enough improvements in the offseason and with the draft. I don't think they get worse in 2021. So I think the floor is 6 wins. So like at the very least, if things still don't work, you have the same record that you did last year and you can reevaluate. Or I'm sorry, well, you'll have one more loss, or so 7 wins, I guess, if you include the new game or the added extra game now. Stealing wise, I mean, we've seen this team make the Super Bowl, and so that's always in the back of my mind when I'm thinking about this team's record. I would put it at, and again, it's going to be tough because this division is so good. I might go somewhere in the realm of like 11 to 13 wins, maybe 14. And I don't, but again, I don't know if that's enough to win the division. That's I think that makes the playoffs. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know if that wins the division. A Super Bowl is, or appearance is not out of the question for me. At least a very deep playoff run, probably like NFC Championship would probably be around where I'd put the ceiling.
Okay. I think that those are both pretty reasonable things to look at. Record-wise, but a number of wins, could you just refresh me again on what you think the ceiling is number of wins-wise, record-wise?
So floor, let's go 6 wins. Ceiling, I want to say 14, but that feels high. But I feel like they can do it. I'll say 14 wins.
Okay. All right.
They do have the easiest schedule in football, like by a lot. I saw this thing right after the schedule was released. And it was like this line graph of strength of schedule, and the Niners were like way up here. They have the easiest schedule. I think they play the NFC West plays the weakest division or divisions, and then they have a pretty decent like schedule outside of that. Yeah, the gauntlet is going to be playing the other teams in the NFC West for sure.
Gotcha. All right. Well, here we are. Trey, our turn now, and Zach, you can jump in kind of on these whenever you want to. Okay. Trey. Are you ready? Where do we want to start? Give me a random NFC West team.
Get the Cardinals out of the way.
Okay. Cardinals out of the way. I will start here. Cardinals. Let's talk about their best position group. Let me just say, to me, I think the best position group on the team is going to be, this one's tough because they're like a good roster, but they're not great in like, and they're not like elite. Like I wouldn't consider them top 5 roster like position groups in the conference for any of their position groups. But let's just say for right now, wide receiver, just because DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys. They bring in Rondale Moore from the draft. Everybody knows. I talked about it on the draft show. I'm really high on him. I know he has injury concerns, but I really do think he can be a dynamic player and add something to that offense. Christian Kirk, a nice deep threat. AJ Green, a major gamble, was terrible last year. But if he can bounce back and contribute, that's a good add. But I would not tout him as one of their best receivers right now. I have to see it first. So I'll say receivers. What do you think, Trey?
I'm running along the same thinking as what you said, saying how this roster isn't a crazy good roster, but it's still, I guess you could say, a good roster. I mean, I guess I would say their pass rushing group is probably the best position group on the team. I mean, J.J. Watt, even though he's not the same as he used to be.
I guess I got to ask you, Ben, the big news this week, obviously Chandler Jones wants a trade. Mm-hmm. I think personally he gets traded before the season starts.
Yeah. I don't think he does.
Okay.
On the reasoning that the Cardinals need to take a step forward this year. So if you trade away Chandler Jones for draft picks, which are virtually unknowns, you're just not going to be able to do that. I mean, behind Chandler Jones, well, not behind, but along with, you know, Chandler Jones, there's Marcus Golden, who's a nice pass rusher, but he's not at the level of Chandler Jones, obviously. So I think they hold on to him and try to negotiate a raise with him in the next offseason, per se. But continuing what I was saying earlier, J.J. Watt isn't the same as what he used to be, but he's still a real serviceable pass rusher. He played real well on the Texans last year, even though he was virtually the only threat as a pass rusher, maybe even on the defense. That Texas defense was disgusting last year. And I just mentioned Marcus Golden a couple years ago. He had a nice season, you know, signed back with the Cardinals. I'm not really familiar with his, you know, statistical performance from last season, but from what I remember, he's still a decent pass rusher that can go out there and provide a lot of depth and even come and, you know, handle some snaps as a starter. So Marcus Golden is there. And, you know, we just said Chandler Jones when healthy is still one of the best pass rushers in football. And people might not understand that simply because it's that not a lot of people talk about him. Not a lot of people talk about him. He was ultra productive in New England. He's been ultra productive in Arizona. He might maybe have lost a step. And plus he's coming off that, you know, that painful biceps injury. So that might be a reason for some sort of concern, but I still think he's one of the best pass rushers maybe in football, of course in the NFC West, but maybe even in football still. So their pass rushing group probably stands out to me as the best sort of, you know, position group, you know, on that team.
Okay. What do you think about the worst position group?
Worst position group? That's
I mean, that offensive line looks interesting. That they, I remember, okay. I remember seeing a couple weeks ago that Kyler Murray did an interview, and he essentially said, like, hey, I can run, but I don't want to, or I don't want that to be the reason that we're productive. And that, I mean, that offensive line, it didn't get any better in the offseason. And so you got a lot of guys. I mean, you got him some weapons, which is good. And you got him a defense. The defense, I will admit, has some nice pieces, but that, yeah, that line looks like it's
well, let me play devil's advocate. Rodney Hudson was one of the best centers in the league last year. They added him from the Raiders. And, you know, DJ Humphries and Kelvin Beecham are not terrible tackles. Really, when he ran last year, it was mostly designed runs. Like,
I don't really agree with that.
No, I do. Watching a lot of the Cardinals because I like to trash Cliff Kingsbury and I need evidence. Like, I've watched a lot of Cardinals, and I'm telling you guys, like, that is a shot at Cliff Kingsbury, not the offensive line. Like, before Kyler got hurt, their offense was successful because they were using him as a running quarterback. That was Cliff's, like, number one.
Oh, so you're saying it's more of a scheme thing. Yeah, I see that.
It's a scheme thing, totally. I don't think it's – now, I'm not saying it's a top five offensive line or anything, but I think it's an average line. I don't view it as a disadvantage. And they added Rodney Hudson, who's good. So – yes, it might be the worst position group, but I don't think, and I'm going to say it's not the worst position group, because honestly, I don't know how you guys can look at the cornerback.
Maybe the tight end group. I mean,
and feel good about Malcolm Butler and
Darquez Denard,
Byron Murphy. Like, I don't know how you can feel one of those guys can't stay healthy and the other one's Byron Murphy. Like, I don't know how you feel confident in that secondary. You do have
Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, but they barely played him last year.
Yeah.
And they don't really know how to use him. And Vance Joseph is still the coordinator. So I would say that's the weakest position group, personally.
What about the tight end group?
If you lose also weak. If you lose Chandler Jones, where does that line sit? Because Houston tried to make it work with J.J. Watt as their number one pass rusher, and we've seen.
Well, it depends on if you believe in Utah legend Lakey Fotu.
Because, or Kylie Fitz. He's waiting in the wing.
Because I was reading some projected starter stuff. He's going to be a starter this year. Like, he's going to be starting. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays. But, I mean, the other guy they have outside of Chandler Jones is Marcus Golden. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Their edge rushing situation is not great if J.J. Watt gets hurt, which he could, and Chandler Jones gets traded away. So, yeah, defense has questions all around, potentially. It's good we got to this. All right, I'm going to talk for a long time, Trey, because I have a quarterback outlook, and I need to get something off my chest for our what's it called? Dealer's choice. Quarterback outlook. I do not say this lightly. I believe Kyler Murray can be an MVP candidate this year. That is how much I believe in Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a fantastic quarterback who is being held back by play calling. I think that last year before the injury, when he was throwing the ball, he looked great. Even when he had the injured shoulder, he made some berserk throws throughout the year. If you look at it, he's just got to develop a little bit more consistency, and the play calling's got to get right around him. You know, like, you can't just keep calling these tunnel screens to nowhere. So I truly do believe that we are talking about Kyler Murray as an MVP candidate and a superstar this year who can throw for 4,000 yards and rush for nearly 1,000, which that would be the MVP, basically. So I think that there is a real chance that he does that, and the Cardinals are set up for him to do that with the offensive talent they have. I believe Kyler Murray can be absolutely special, and I think maybe next year when we're having this conversation, we discuss him as a top three overall quarterback.
But I can see it.
That brings me to dealer's choice. Trey knows where this is going. It's put up or shut up time, Cliff. I mean, you're hot. Yeah, you're really hot.
Got a nice house.
But what else do you really got going for you? You're a terrible play caller. You love calling tunnel screens to nowhere. And frankly, your demeanor with the media is laughable. You put out some truly disgusting, unself-aware quotes sometimes. You also aren't a good football coach. But you walk around here like, oh, man, I'm all that. I'm the cat's pajamas. I'm Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. You're nothing, Cliff Kingsbury. Know that. Know that you are nothing, because you continue to be one of the worst coaches in the NFL. You call these tunnel screens to nowhere all the time. Your passing game is full of slants and trick plays, and you can't just unleash Kyler Murray as a downfield thrower, which is what he is. Dude. And I feel confident in saying this. The Cardinals, outside of the division, I think they're going to be okay, but I don't think they're going to blow people away. Non-division-wise, I think they're going 6-5. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've just made up my mind on this. If they sneak into the playoffs, it'll only be because the NFC West is so far ahead of everyone else. I do not believe they are a playoff team with Cliff Kingsbury. I cannot rest my football integrity on saying this team will be that. I believe Kyler Murray has the potential to be an MVP candidate. Yes. Do I believe that will happen? No. Cliff Kingsbury is awful, garbage, trash, terrible. My guess is that Trey and I will be so sick of this team that you will not hear about them on this podcast by about week 6. So the Cardinals, put up or shut up. I mean, I'm done, Cliff. Like, you're this offensive genius. You sucked at Texas Tech. You came into the league and you suck in the league. Do what you're destined to be doing, Cliff Kingsbury. take your trash offense, tell your agent to spin it, and next December, when USC fires Clay Helton for going 8-4, go take over at USC. That's where you were destined to be, Cliff. Take over USC, move on, get out of my life in the NFL, and let someone talented coach Kyler Murray and unlock this tremendous superstar's potential. Trey, I don't think that's up, but I really wanted to bring the heat today. I'm not sure if that brought it entirely, but I'm just done. This has been an off-season thread, and I'm done talking about it. I'm done talking about Cliff Kingsbury. I'm just done.
The problem is that they almost made the playoffs.
Yeah, but the key word is almost.
Right.
And but
what was the team's ceiling, though?
Was because the offense was terrible. They lost so many close games.
Too many, in fact.
No, I refuse to believe in Cliff.
No, look, look, me and you both know that, yeah, me and you, Eric, yeah, that we just despise what Cliff Kingsbury has done.
Yeah, we're not here for Cliff.
Like, we both despise that man for what he's doing.
Not a good dude. Ruining
because football. If Kyler Murray had a competent play caller and competent play designer to take his skill set and maximize it and take advantage of it in every way possible, Kyler Murray would actually be an MVP candidate.
Preach, Trey.
I will bet thousands of dollars on that, because that's just how good Kyler Murray is. It's just that he's being limited. Like, and Eric, I'm sorry, I'm going to cuss here.
Please don't.
I'm gonna make it easier for you. Like, Kyler Murray is being limited like living hell, my Kingsbury. Like, it's not even funny at this point, because the more time that goes along, Kyler Murray putting up these weird stats and everything, just not looking good, the more I'm gonna get angry, because Kyler Murray he's good. He's so freaking good. He's just being freaking limited by Cliff Kingsbury and his bubble screens to freaking North Dakota every other two snaps. So it's annoying. I need Kyler Murray to you know, be unlocked, be freaking unleashed, man. And I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is the guy.
Their largest margin of loss last year was 11 points. It was the last game of the season. So they were never truly blown out, yeah, and they started 5-2 before their bye week, and then they kind of tailed off from there. Is it something where, like, do you see? I mean, obviously, if they go like 0-15 to start the season, yeah, you're probably going to fire Cliff Kingsbury. Is there anything other? You know, what situation? Like, is there a situation where you fire him?
Yeah. I think the seat is high. From what I've seen, I think there's no way you fire him in season, but if he misses the playoffs, he's gone. Like, that's
really?
It. Like, that's the ultimatum. Right, Trey? That's what I've been seeing.
I don't think
this is just us. I think that, like, he has a legitimately hot seat, and if he is not a playoff coach this year, he will not be coaching them anymore.
I think if he doesn't miss the play, if he misses the playoffs, excuse me, he'll have another year. I think the basis of the Cardinals firing him after this year is if he doesn't get like 4 wins, bro. If they go like 3 yeah. and freaking 14.
No. I really think last year, from the start of when we talked about the Cardinals at week 8 last year, they were a locked in playoff team. And the fact that they fell apart the way they did down the stretch, I feel like the expectation there is playoffs or Cliff Kingsbury's gone. He has been there. This is his third year there.
Mm-hmm.
He has made the playoff either of his previous 2 years. He's only been able to put 2 half good seasons together.
Okay.
His first year, the second half was good. And his second year, the first half was good. And then I think you could argue that he is on the hot seat. He's got to make the playoffs.
You could argue that he's made them a better team, though. He was 5-10-1 in year one and 8-8 last year. That's a 3-game improvement.
Yeah.
Another three games, that's an 11-win team. I think I don't think the roster is at a point where you could blame it exclusively on the coach.
All right. Well, I agree. But if he's an 11-win team, he's going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think he's got another year.
He's not going to be in the playoffs and he'll be fired.
Yeah, I think unless they go 1-16, I think he's got another year. At least one.
All right. I think we're all just going to you two are just going to disagree with me on this one. That's fine. Let's go ceilings and floors. Let me handle this one. I think the floor for the Arizona Cardinals is 7-10, okay. Which is, by the way, what I see them going.
Really?
That seems high. Really don't think they're going to fare well in the division, and I think that's going to kill them. They've got a pretty weak out-of-division schedule, so I mean, they play the NFC North, who outside of the Packers, that's pretty, I think I'd favor them in all of them. And then they play the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Browns, plus the Panthers. So, and the Cowboys. So there's potential to win outside the division, but I just don't think they'll do well in the division. In fact, I have an exact prediction for you. Inside the division, I believe they go 1-5, one win against the Seahawks, I believe, but I think everybody else pretty much takes care of them. I'm just not high on Cliff Kingsbury, but the ceiling I do think is 12, 13 wins if Kyler's that MVP guy and if Cliff adjusts, but I really don't think he'll adjust. So that's where I am.
They're going to have to steal some games for sure. There's a couple like eggs on there. Like they play Jacksonville, they play Houston. You got to see where some of these teams are at. They play Chicago, but they might be different this year with Justin Fields. They play Detroit as well. There's a couple of like, you should win these games. There's a couple of those on there, but there's also, I mean, every other game is like, they're not the favorite. You know, they play Tennessee week one. That's tight. You know, you got to see where Minnesota's at in week two, but again, that's going to be close, you know, and every other game, they're either a severe underdog or it's like, close, but they're still the underdog. Like, yeah, they're gonna have to steal some games, and that's why I think, you know, I said when you said the floor was 7, that seems high. I don't see it. I see a scenario where they go like 5-12 or something like that.
Is that bad enough for Kingsbury to get fired? Because I think that's for sure bad enough for him to get fired.
It depends. I think it, because again, they lost a lot of close games last year, so you can like kind of see. You can make your excuses and get your way out of that. But if it's like ugly 5-12, you know, yeah, I could see it. But I mean, the Niners went 6-10 last year and we're picking them to win the Super Bowl or to, you know, make deep playoff runs. So like, it depends, I think.
All right. This is such a fascinating division that I really don't think we need the format anymore to talk about the last two teams. So I'll just rapid fire let's go Seahawks here, Trey. And I think the best and worst doesn't really matter. I think we can say they have holes all over the defense. What really matters here is Russell Wilson. Right, Trey? Like that's what really matters here.
I mean, in a sense, yes, but
especially with the Aaron, like the whole season intrigue wise circles around two quarterbacks, and that's Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, because they both said they weren't happy with their situation at some point this offseason. There were both major reports that came out in the Seahawks case very damningly against how the organization is being run. And I really do think the story with the Seahawks is Russell Wilson. Like that's why I'm interested in watching them, is but they have a talented offense and a new coordinator And it's pretty clear to me that if the Seahawks aren't in that NFC conference title game or close to the Super Bowl, I think Russell Wilson is leaving. I just think that's the way this season is going to shake out. And what do you think this season boils down to for the Seahawks, Trey?
I think it boils down to, A, you know, the offensive line not screwing Russell Wilson over once again, and B, seeing if that defense isn't comically bad like it was last year. I think the bigger concern for me is that defense, because it's pretty – I think it's more difficult to, you know, get a one-year fix on your offensive line opposed to your defense. So that defense needs to show some sort of improvement, because I think we all know how bad that defense was last year, and I think that's why we saw, you know, the explosion of points from the Seahawks early on in the season. It's the fact that they needed to do that, you know, because their defense wasn't doing them any favors. So I really think that defense has to step it up big time this year, because if they can't, then I'm not really sure how this offense can, you know, keep up. I won't say that. I won't say I won't know how this offense will keep up, because I think they have the necessary talent to do so. It's just that you don't want to see, I know, you know, Russell Wilson at offense being put in that position saying, hey, we need you to score at least 35 points each week so we can be in a position to win a game, not just to win the game, but in a position to win the game. So that defense needs to step it up big time, because I'm tired of seeing Russell Wilson having to carry every single fiber tissue and cell of the Seahawks just so they could be somewhat relevant. Sick of it. It's time for Russell Wilson to get some help again. So I need
they are, I believe, the most one-dimensional team in the division, which is tough. If Russell Wilson isn't playing, like Trey just said, if he's not playing at an MVP level, it's not good. They're not a good team.
I mean, he is a guy that escapes criticism, but but he was bad, just flat out bad, from about the Rams game last year on till the end. Like,
and that's where we saw the team fall off.
Like, he did not play like a top 10 quarterback. And sure, he wasn't like the worst in the league, but he was not a top 10 quarterback at that point. And, you know, whether that's, it's a new offensive coordinator, they got rid of Brian Schottenheimer. You know, to me, that's a really interesting subplot for the Seahawks, is what exactly does, I got to look up his name. Who is the, what exactly is Shane Waldron? Like, this is his first year calling plays. Like, what does his offense look like? Are they going to be a let Russ throw offense? Will they focus on the play action more? I think if those things happen, the Seahawks have a potential to really light things up. All said and done, I believe the Seahawks are going to be successful offensively this year. And I think that means that they're going to be a team that can win games. And let me just walk through the ceiling and floor really quick for you guys. I think the floor is probably 7 wins, just where I have the Cardinals floor at. I think the ceiling, if the offense got really ticking, if Russ was cooking like he was when he looked like an MVP candidate, the ceiling is like 14 wins. Like, they are that – Russ is that good that he can take them to that spot. I think they're going to be somewhere in between. I see them right now as a 12-win wildcard team out of that division. And I just I believe that they'll figure it out enough to at least be in the playoffs. Do I know how far they're going to get in the playoffs? No, I think the NFC is totally wide open in that regard. But
I mean, we're
like I believe that the Seahawks are going to get there at least.
I mean, we're talking about this team in such a negative like light, and we're talking about how they fell off the face of the planet, but they still went 12-4 and won the division. Like, yeah, they flopped in the playoffs, but like, it's not like we're talking about a 6-10 team here. Like, they still managed to, even if with all the drama, they only lost 4 games last year. So, you know, that a little bit of perspective, yeah, is helpful here. But it's just the fact that you know how to beat them. It's just the fact that they're so good at doing what they do that they can just usually play around it. But like, you know, if they encounter like a tough defense, like the Niners, for example, like if they can figure out the cornerback situation and figure out how to minimize big play receivers, that's it. You've figured out how to beat them because they have little running game. They don't have a whole lot else other than
Chris Carson is always good,
Tyler Lockett. Yeah, it's just that it's tough. They don't. I don't feel like they use him as much as they could or should.
But it's
just very one-dimensional.
See, that's where I think we disagree. To me, the Seahawks offense is a beautiful mystery because it's totally new.
It's an enigma.
Like, yeah. We have no idea what it's like. That's the past Seahawks. But it has the capability of being totally different than that. I'm pretty excited to see what happens there.
Yeah.
All right. The Rams.
Yes.
I'm just throwing this out to Zach mainly because Trey knows it already. But Zach, my MVP pick this year is Matthew Stafford. I think the Rams are not going to run away with this division, but they are going to be the team where we're talking about them in December. Like, oh my gosh, this is our first 17-game season. Could we see our first ever 14-3 team? Like, historic, like record-wise, that we will go back and say over the past 10 years, they are one of the best regular season teams, period. And I just believe wholeheartedly in Sean McVay. He is my guy. I think he wins coach of the year. I think they have weapons with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And who am I missing here? That's been getting hype out of camp. As soon as I see the name, I'll know what it is. I get it. Cam Akers hurts. I think it will hurt them. But Matthew Stafford has never had a running game before and has still been able to look like a great quarterback without one. And I believe in Darrell Henderson for that matter. Outside of those top two guys, they bring in DeSean Jackson. Sure, he's an injury risk. But as a third receiver, if Sean McVay uses him as just the occasional deep threat, that's a perfect role to play DeSean Jackson in. I believe that he can coach up DeSean Jackson to have a productive role. Tyler Higbee, he's a great tight end. I mean,
really great. He's top 10.
I mean, outside of that, Van Jefferson, he was a guy last year that was getting some run. I think we did not see a ton of depth on that offense last year because Jared Goff was throwing the football. I think that these guys are going to be good. I think that this will be a top 10 offense. I believe in the Rams as a team, and I know that losing your defensive coordinator hurts, and I know that losing some of your secondary pieces hurt. But, I mean, still, Taylor Rapp's still there. Jalen Ramsey's still there. Darius Williams, he's going to be a guy that plays a former Alabama guy. Your linebacking core looks pretty much the same. And you still have the best defensive player in the NFL in Aaron Donald. I really do believe that they are, to me, they're my pick for the division. And they're my pick for the final four. I think they'll be a final four team.
Their defense was, I mean, it, that's it, how it got, it started, it, their defense started, you know, getting talked about a lot more as the season went on, as they got closer to the playoffs. I think, yeah, you did lose some pieces and that sucks. You lost some starters too, which is, you know, it makes things a little tougher to figure out, but Yeah, I think their defense was already talked about a lot, but they
Terrell Burgess, he got hurt in the middle of last year, but back. He was contributing to them as a starter. They have pieces.
I think that if San Francisco could figure out their quarterback room, it might be a little closer. But I think this is the most complete team in the division.
Yeah, 100%.
And I mean, we've seen it. I mean, last year it was weird because you had Jared Goff, but the team itself was for the most part the same, and they still didn't, you know, fare super well. But I think they have an easier schedule this year. Everyone in the NFC West has an easier schedule this year, and they were able to put up points with Jared Goff anyway. They were scoring like 30 to 40 points every couple games, or you know, for stretches down or during the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if everyone plays to par and you get the production you expect out of all these players, I wouldn't be surprised if they like even made the Super Bowl.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, they just have pieces everywhere. I mean, defensively, they're still good, even though they lost John Johnson, they lost Troy Hill and Brandon Staley. They brought in Raheem Morris, who I think can probably still fill the pieces and pick up the slack, you know, left behind after Brandon Staley's departure. And the offense is really good. They have depth. The depth of wide receiver is really insane. Love their depth. Cam Akers injury is the one that disappoints me.
Thanks.
Yeah. Because I really expected him to, you know, come onto the scene and play maybe like a top 20, top 15 back this year, because everything was in place for him to do so. But they still have some dependable pieces, you know, aside from Cam Akers. I know Daryl Henderson is still there. Excuse me if I butcher his name. I believe they have another running back over there who played some snaps last year. I just can't remember his name off the top of my head. But I think that offense is still going to be fine in the run game department aside, you know, with Cam Akers on the sideline with that injury. But they're just stacked. They're stacked everywhere. So I really think they're going to be one of the best teams in football this year. And I, you know, like Eric said, Final Four team, they're going to be in the NFC Championship game. I wholeheartedly believe so.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks because that means they probably beat the Niners in like a divisional or something, but I see it. I do.
Oh, I just received some incredibly discouraging news.
What happened? Did I miss something?
Philip Grubauer has been signed by the Seattle Kraken. Oh,
we're talking hockey now? Dude, I've been tracking that all day.
The middle of an NFC West podcast here.
Oh!
What happened? I don't know why. Are you sad? Did you want him for your team? I don't get it.
I'm an Avalanche fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. We're not contenders anymore. Great. Just give up like that. Joe Sakic.
Yeah,
bro,
yeah.
Come on, you idiot.
He contended this last year, but Kadri got himself suspended because he did.
I hate it. Sorry. Back to the NFC West. All right, this is how I view it going down. You guys tell me what you think. And let's – hell, if you guys have records off the top of your head, let's do records. Rams, 13-4 for me. Niners, 12-5. Seahawks, 12-5. Cardinals 7-10. That's how I see the division come down.
Wow. Okay. You hate Cliff Kingsbury, huh?
Yeah, dude, he is not a good coach. And frankly, you've talked me into the Niners. I believe the Cardinals are still the weakest roster in the division.
But again, if you put them in another division, they're good.
Right.
It's just but everyone else in the NFC West is great.
We live in reality.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically.
I can see it. I agree with the placements, but I think Arizona has 9 wins instead of 7. You know, yeah. I think they're a little better than you give them credit for.
Yeah. My sort of, you know, thinking is parallel with Zach's, honestly.
But would I be surprised? No.
No. I think the Seahawks have maybe 10 or 11 wins instead of 12, but to agree or disagree. So
those divisional games, like,
must watch TV.
Insane.
Must watch TV.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Let it out for the podcast, man.
It's time to end the podcast. Indeed. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. This was a ton of fun.
Yeah, of course. Trey, thanks for having me on. It's my first podcast in like 6 months.
Trey, tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
AFC North. Get excited. Yeah. And we're still working out whether the quarterback shows Friday or not. I can't fully tell if it is or not.
Everybody's busy, man.
But if it doesn't happen this week, it probably won't happen next week.
Okay.
Next week's going to be terrible for me to be moving. So, a lot of content this week. I promise 3 shows at the very minimum, 4 shows at the most. All right, boys. This was fun. Thanks. And we will see you tomorrow. Peace out.